So if you're thinking about giving somebody a second chance, how well do you already know them? How well do you know them? Is this just somebody that you met a short while ago and you just happened to hear about their moral failure? Oh, you did that? That's okay. I forgive you. How well do you know them? Did you just meet them a short while ago and learn about their failure, or have you spent a good portion of your life with them getting to know their heart and their motives and their ways? Have you seen them when their guard was down? When they weren't in a situation where they thought you might be evaluating them, have you seen them in the mundane, routine, day-to-day stuff of life? Have you seen how they handle adversity and affliction and stressful situations? Have you seen how they handle temptations? Have you seen how they handle trust before? You know, we would interview folks for job positions with the state of Maryland when I was working there, and there were folks who could put on a good show for 45 minutes. I mean, they could impress you, buddy. They came in, they looked sharp, every hair was in place, they wore the best clothes, they knew the talk, they knew all the buzzwords, you know? Value added, ooh, hire that guy, you know? Best practices, oh my gosh, he must be a genius, get him in here quick. They, you know, or whatever the buzzword happens to be for your industry. You know, they could talk the talk, they could look sharp, and they could put on a dog and pony show for 45 minutes that would blow you clean away. But if you didn't know how they work, you were rolling the dice at best. Because I want to know what they're like 8 months down the road on a Monday morning when there's nothing to be gained and they're just on the job doing the same old, can they be trusted? Are they faithful? Will they stay the course? Or are they so dysfunctional that after 45 minutes of putting on a show, they totally collapse and blow everything? I mean, this is where we live, is it not? And how do you answer that when somebody says, is it not? Do you say yes or do you say no? Praise God. How well do you know them? What have you observed about how they respond to a crisis or a temptation when your trust in them was not on the line? You know, they may be performing for you right now, but if you see them in a stressful situation where they don't know that you're looking at them evaluating because you've known them for so long, they're going to be themselves. They're going to act like whatever they act like in that crisis situation. Have you ever observed them in that situation? How well do you know them? Praise God. So Barnabas was willing to give Mark a second chance for all of these reasons. He was willing to invest himself in Mark, to develop him, to grow him, to walk side by side with him in spite of whatever things Mark was trying to resolve in his life, because he saw the potential that God had placed in Mark. Praise God. And now 2,000 years later, we're sitting here in Queenstown this morning, probably thinking, John, when are you going to shut up so we can eat? 2,000 years later, we're sitting here in Queenstown and we can look back and say, wow, what a great choice. Thank God that Barnabas was willing to give Mark a second chance. Hindsight is 20/20. We can look back and say, wow, you know what? That was pretty sharp. I am so glad he didn't just give in to Paul and not take Mark with him. He actually stood his ground because he was convinced that that's what God wanted to do. Now, how do we know that that was a good decision? Well, here's the facts. For one thing, after Mark graduated from Barnabas, it was a little the Barnabas School of Ministry. You know, he put in his time with Barnabas, went around Cyprus and some of these places, graduated from Barnabas, he started traveling around with Peter and spreading the kingdom of God with Peter, and after being under Peter's influence and learning all about the history of what had been going on, he actually wrote the book of the Bible that we refer to as the Gospel according to Mark, which commentators say that was actually Peter's information that he had passed on to Mark, and Mark then put that in the book we call the Gospel of Mark. He is that Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the Mark we're referring to here. And in fact, if just to make it even more, you know, more weighty here, the Gospel of Mark was considered the first gospel. The others, or two of the others, Matthew and Luke, actually sort of used that as a template for their gospel, to take that foundation and then add in what they had known from their own experiences or information. Luke took his information from Paul. Matthew was with the Lord the whole time. And then there's some other thing that they call Q, which is like this verbal sayings of Jesus that was passed down. There's no actual document. We're not even going to go down that road. But Mark's was the first gospel, and commentators generally believe that Matthew and Luke kind of used that as a template and said, okay, well, yeah, here we got this, that, and there. I'm going to throw this in and throw that in and maybe leave this part out. But that was the foundational gospel at the beginning of the early church. It's a critical thing. That's why they call Matthew, Mark, and Luke the synoptic gospels, because they really parallel each other. And then John came along later and wrote the gospel according to John, which was a just totally different approach altogether. They're all inspired by God. They're all wonderful. They're all edifying and not taking anything away from that. But Mark was pivotal in establishing the New Testament. What if Barnabas said, forget about it. I'm not going to take you with... We'd have Matthew, Luke, and John. If we had that. Praise God. Not only that, and I love this, I've experienced this, man. Mark developed such a good reputation. Mark turned his record around, man. Mark developed such a good reputation. He was eventually not only reconciled to Paul, but he became one of Paul's, not Barnabas, one of Paul's most trusted partners, to the place where when other people were forsaking Paul, Mark stood by his side. Wow. Wow. You don't believe me? Let's take a look. Colossians 4:10. Maybe you believe me. We're going to look anyway. I wrote this out. We're going to do it. Colossians 4:10. Paul is writing and saying to the Colossians at the end of his letter, he says this, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, and he's writing from prison. He's writing from prison. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with who? Mark, the cousin of who?
Barnabas.
Whoa! Son of a gun! Aristarchus greets you along with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you've received instructions. If he comes to you, throw him out. Kick him to the curb. Don't trust him. He's a deserter. You should have seen what happened back in Acts chapter 13. Well, he had Luke with him, who was writing the book of Acts. He may have gotten to chapter 13 already. If he comes to you, do what? Welcome him. Welcome him. Embrace him. Greet him. Feed him. Clothe him. Give him a place to stay for the night. Welcome him. Praise God. Philemon, Paul wrote to this, I'm not going to give you the background. It's the letter to Philemon, former slave, writing to a former slave owner about an escaped slave that had run into Paul and got saved. At the end of the letter, verse 23, he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do, what?
Mark.
How does he know Mark greets them? Where was Mark? With Paul. Wow. And where was Paul? Jail. Mark was with Paul in jail. Maybe he was just visiting. That's okay. He stuck by him. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. Now, 2 Timothy, check this out, 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Nick hit the road. I'm sorry. Couldn't resist. I saw him back there, sitting next to his brother Luke. 2 Timothy 4:11. Sarah went with him. 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and tell him I still hate him for abandoning us back in Pergus. Get Mark and tell him, I'm still angry. Don't even bother to come. Don't write me anymore. I have thrown away your letters. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and do what? Bring him with you. For he is what? Oh my goodness. Bring Mark, man. He is useful to me for ministry. You're sitting there in prison. You could have one person brought to you. Who do you think of? Paul said, bring Mark. It's my bud, man. Isn't that incredible? Isn't it amazing what God can do in somebody's life when you give them a second chance? When you give the right person a second chance? Wow. Became Paul's most trusted assistant in the gospel. Wow. And thank God for guys like Barnabas, amen? Who see that potential and just want to invest themselves in them and develop what God has put inside of them because they know what God can do with that guy or that girl. Praise God. We serve the God of the second chance. And every one of us, if we've been born again in Christ, is evidence of that. We are all people who have been given a second chance. And the possibilities are just amazing. But as I said, he calls us to be wise as serpents. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so while we are to be very compassionate, we also must be very discerning. By the way, I told you what was going to happen, what happened in the early church when they were debating about whether to bring these guys back who had denounced Christ and burned incense to the Roman gods. Would they be given a second chance? Would they be let back into the church? You know what the answer was? How many people say yes? You're right. They let them back. He said, let's give them a second chance, man. Let's go for it. Let's just embrace them, call them brothers, and let's make this happen. I thank God for folks like that. Praise God. So I don't know. If you're in that position, get a copy of this tape, or CD, MP3, whatever it is. Number one, do they have a good track record? Number two, how much are you willing to trust to them? Number three, do you know them? Actually, I think that was number four. Praise God. And finally, how much do they have to gain? Is there possible they have an ulterior motive? If they don't, man, then just go for it. Amen? Amen. Praise God.